with my... Joe Kreger here? Joe did an incredible job last week, if you were here. Just a saint. Anyway, so he was covering... for me, I was on vacation last week with my wife, who is better than I deserve, and my brothers and their wives that they are definitely don't deserve. And me too. Cards on the table, outside of not working and outside of resting and outside of being with my wife on vacation, the thing that matters to me most is food.
Amen.
It is the meat, and so we ate good food, and every night we ate really good food, and we paid for everything up front, so you could order as much as you want, and your cost wouldn't go up, okay? This is what heaven is like. And so, you know, we'd sit down, and there'd be six appetizers for you to order, and I don't want to lose money on this, so I'm getting four, okay? And then at dessert, there's five things you can order. Again, I don't want to lose money on this. I want to be frugal so I can, you know, get generous and give. So, you know, I'm ordering five of those because you have to try them, okay? You don't want to go through life and not even try these things. What I cared about most was the main course, okay? When they would bring out the meats. And with a meal, in my opinion, you can get everything wrong. Okay, if your appetizers are not even there or your desserts don't taste good, if you get the meat right, I will come back again. Okay, I will eat those things. And so what we're going to look at today, again, is the meat, the thing that matters most of our faith and of the whole world. If we get what is of first importance right, if we get the meat right, everything else will work itself out. Okay, we can get a lot of other things right and the opposite. And if we get the meat wrong, it didn't matter. Okay, and we do this in the Bible Belt, especially. If you live in Oklahoma, this area of the country, Oklahoma, Texas, and the South, we want to talk about appetizers, and we talk about desserts, we want to talk about dress, whether or not it's right for me to wear blue jeans right now, whether or not it angers the Lord if we're wearing hats, or how loud or soft music is. And then we have conversations about food and drink, and whether what food and drink is sinful. And when I'm having this conversation with people, I just want to look them in the eye and be as honest as I can, okay? Well done steak is sinful. It just is, and you need to repent. Then we get into whether or not certain movies are allowed. Then we do doctrines, okay? Should everyone speak in tongues or some? Is Jesus going to airlift us out of here? He's going to ride with us through it. Then we get into ministry philosophy. Should we do small groups or should we do Sunday school? Should we be elder-led or board-led? All these different things. My point is this. We spend a lot of time talking about appetizers and desserts and seem to ignore the meat sometime. And today, we are not going to do that. Today, we are going to get in the meat. So what is the main things? If you're in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance. So this is Paul, the apostle, the highest regarded follower of Jesus in history. He has more to say about Jesus, not in volume, but not in quantity, but in quality, than anyone in history. And anyone who's ever said anything good about Jesus is ripping it off of Paul, okay, who ripped it off the Holy Spirit. So when Paul says that this thing is of first importance, that means that everything Paul has said previously and everything that Paul will say after is of what? Second, third, fourth, it's not as important of this. This is the meat, which is this, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. This is what's of first importance. This is the meat. It's not an appetizer. Christ died for our sins. So if we're reading this and just doing basic inductive Bible study, we have to ask, well, what is sin? And sin is not just bad behavior, okay? Obviously, bad behavior is sin. Being a jackwagon online is sin, okay? flipping off the homeboy who cuts you off on the highway. We would obviously, yeah, that's sin. Holding holy grudges in church world is sin. But these things are leaves on the tree. They are not the root of what sin is. Sin is wrongly directed affection. So let me tell you what I mean. God made everything, okay? Air and birds and trees and all that stuff, marriage and family and children. He made everything for the glory of His name, that we would enjoy these things and doing so enjoy Him, that He might be worshipped, not these things. That's the reason for everything. That's the point of the universe, that Jesus would receive what is due His name. That's what worthy means. So sin is wrongly directed. Affection is at any moment when we take things that are given by God for the worship of God and make those things ultimate rather than God. Okay? You have affections. Humans are affection-driven people. We make our choices based on what we love. You are what you love. And anytime we love something God has made more than we love God, we sin. So sin is when I say that money is what I'm after. If I can get money, I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. It's my whole point of existence. Now, money's not intrinsically evil. Okay, the scripture has lots of good things to say about it. But when we make money ultimate, we've fallen into sin. Okay, we see this in our high school a lot. Like friendship. Okay, when friendship is ultimate, when being popular is ultimate, and that's the point of my existence, it's the air I breathe, that is sin. Now, friendship is not intrinsically evil, okay? Go through your Bible, friendship is held in very, very high regard by the Lord, but when that thing is ultimate, we've fallen into sin, and we do the same thing with sex and family and marriage and our jobs. We can do it with anything. So what is a God who is holy and who is just and who is right? What is He to do if He's good and His creation ignores Him and gives their affection to something other than Him? And before we get into God's response to sin, how incredibly stupid sin is. Incredibly dumb it is. We have God who is the creator of the universe. Everything that is good and everything that is right, He made. And so we pay more attention to and give more of our affection to who died in our favorite TV show this week, or if your sports team won or not, or how much money you need to save for your next vacation. I just described you my sinful week, all right, of Holy Week. Sin is the sickness of taking our God-given affections and placing them on things and placing them on people instead of God. And every single one of us has it. Okay? No one sneezed on you and you caught the sin. That's not how it happens. You were born in sin. Romans tells us all have fallen short of the glory of God. And sin brings destruction everywhere that it goes. Peter tells us that when sin is fully formed and fully grown, it just brings death. And God, one day, is going to recreate this sphere that we're on. It's going to be perfect and dazzling and beautiful. It's going to be a new city, and sin will not be allowed into this city. Okay, it won't be allowed in to ruin it this time. So God is going to take care of both the germ and the carriers of the germ. So God's curse on sin, God's curse on wrongly ordered affections is death, hell, and the grave. If God is good, He will not let sin into His new creation. This is God's just punishment for sin, and we know this. Okay, we know that death, that sin leads to death. And so we do one of two things. Either we do everything we can not to die, okay? This is the CrossFit junkies and the crazy diet people and the plastic surgery people. Okay, they're just trying to do everything. They know they're going to die, doing everything to prevent that day. So we either try and prevent dying. Not going to work. Okay, or we just ignore that death is coming. And so we fill our lives with so many things and so many distractions to keep us away from that day. And so in our belittlement of God, in our spending our affections on what is not God rather than God, we are resigned to death and hell for our sins. This is what God does because God is good. But what is of first importance?
What did Paul write here? What I also received, that Christ died for our sins. In the Old Covenant, okay, that front of your Bible there, there's a Levitical system. God makes a covenant with His people, a promise with His people. And in doing this, to show this to His people then, God would take two lambs. The first lamb He would take, they would slit its throat, pour out all the blood. Lamb two, they would pray over this lamb, sprinkle the blood on it, and then send this lamb out into the desert. This is called a scapegoat. Okay, this is how the sin was paid for, and then it was taken away. Well, in the new covenant, which Jesus brings, God in the flesh, Jesus shows up on the scene, has His blood drained, and then He carries away the sins of the world. Of first importance is this, church, the cross of Christ. Christ died for our sins, but we can't stop there. The gospel story does not end with the cross. Okay, if your door was knocked on this weekend by a Jehovah's Witness, their gospel stops there. That Jesus, who in their view was not God, just went into the grave and died. Our gospel doesn't end there. It doesn't end with a cross. It doesn't end with a tomb. And if that's what you heard partially, or you heard wrong, and I don't want you to hear wrong today. Okay, I'm praying this week, God, give us ears to hear the Word of God today. First importance is this, verse 4, that He was buried, and then what? He was raised. So it's not just that Jesus died for our sins, it's that He was then raised. And so we're reading and we go, so what? Some guy 2,000 years ago died, says, for us. So what? What does Christ's resurrection do? If it just happened, it doesn't do anything. We're not, our gathering is pointless today. But it does something. Go with me to Romans 4:23. We'll have it on the screen so you can stare at it and see that I'm not making it up. Verse 23. Romans 4:23. It will be counted to us who believe in Him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who has delivered up for our trespasses. So delivered up for our trespasses means died for our sins, and was raised for our what? Verse 24. Raised for our justification. So look, all right, Jesus goes to the cross. He is delivered up for our trespasses, delivered up for our taking our affections that are meant for Him and putting them on someone else, delivered up for our rebellion against God, but then is what? Raised for our justification. Meaning, the gospel does not stop at the cross or at the tomb, but it continues on through a living Lord. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I think death has a pretty good record, okay? Everyone before Jesus who died stayed dead. Everyone after Jesus who died stayed dead. Jesus alone defeated death. Christ dies for our sins, but then is raised for our justification of all those who believe. Still though, so what? What does that do? Why does that matter? This matters to you as a human, because if you believe, it means the wrath of God that we all deserve for our sin, wrath meant for rebellious wretches who say, God, I would rather be God, I would rather rule my life rather than You because You don't do a good job at it and I'm a lot better at it. All of that has been taken, all of that has been absorbed, all that has been placed not on you but on Jesus. And He takes it into the grave with Him. Do you see why this is good news? That means that your sin is not your sin anymore. Right. It's gone on to someone else. Now Christ being resurrected for our justification means that we find our justification before God, our right standing before God, not in being good. Not in acting right, not in attending church. Guys, if you want to hold up your church attendance to the holiness of God, it's bad news for you on that day. It's not in not cussing, it's not in not eating well-done steak, though that is sin. Your only justification before a God who is holy and who is just and who is true is in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the destroyer of death and the ruler of the universe. So on that day, when you die, because you're going to die, all right? I don't care how much CrossFit you do, you're going to die. On that day, when you stand before God, you're not going to hold up how many swear words you did or didn't say. how many days you went to church, how much money you put in the offering plate. If that's what you want to throw before God, it's only bad for you. But on that day, when this list of sins is brought up, you will point to one place and one place only, the resurrected Son of God, who died in my place and was raised for my justification for those who believe. So what does that do for you today, okay? Tonkawa, Oklahoma, April Fool's Day. I haven't gotten joked one time today, so far so good. Nehemiah's not here, yeah. No, they're not. Why does this matter for you today, okay? Well, one, it matters more than you'll ever be able to comprehend. Okay, I can't do it in a 30-minute sermon. If you have ears to hear. Ephesians 1:15. This is what matters. This is why it matters to you, if you have ears to hear today. Paul writes, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened." So what does the resurrection do for those who believe it? For those who believe in Jesus, what does it do? That you would know the hope that He has called you to? What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might? So what great might is working in those who believe? Verse 20, the working of His great might that He worked in Jesus in resurrecting Him from the dead. And seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Okay, so follow me here. I'm going to tell you what Paul just said. This is everything, okay? This is huge. If we get appetizers and desserts, we don't get this, we just miss the point, okay? And especially you sunrise people, we woke up for nothing if we don't get this. It was a beautiful service this morning. And cold. This is everything, guys. The resurrection is beefy and weighty and whole. And if it'll land on our hearts today, I'm not just saying preacher talk. Your life will be changed forever. And for billions of years from now, this matters. The resurrection of Jesus means, according to Ephesians 1 here, that the same power, the same more powerful than the blazing sun on the hottest day, power of God that raised the mutilated body of Jesus out of the grave with new life. Paul contends that those who believe, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now working in you. That means the power of a nuclear bomb is inside of you. Working in your deepest and most inward parts. Now, not everyone, those who believe, Paul says, and that sounds like some big, crazy, hard thing to attain that we need to go be a monk to do. Okay, just, you know, focus on God all day and not do anything but play Hillsong songs and sit in my room. This doesn't mean that. It means that by simple belief, simple trust that any child can do. This belief, the Spirit's power now, for those who believe, begins to work in us as a great master builder of our soul and at the resurrection of our bodies, not just going through here in here what's broken and painting over it, or just redoing some sheetrock. What the Spirit does to us, He did to Jesus, totally making everything new. Not just repainting, but making new, taking what is broken and making our entire lives like Jesus. This matters for us today because if we believe that Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification, we also believe that same power that raised Him to life will raise us to life, inward and outward, okay? And I don't. We need to know that we need this, okay? The power that Jesus made Jesus new will also make us new, and we need to be made new.
Amen.
We need to be made new. And if you don't know that, I just ask that the Lord would convince you today. We need our affections reordered, or our gaze refixed on what is good, and this only comes through belief in Christ. But unfortunately, because of sin, the first place we run isn't to Christ to get out of our insanity that of thinking we're not broken, okay? If you're sitting here today and you think, I'm good, you're not. We think a new job or exercise regimen or diet or husband or boyfriend or money or whatever self-help book is on the shelves now is going to fix what's broken, but it's not. And if you've tried those things, you know that's not going to cure what ails me. We are broken in ways that cannot be fixed without someone outside of ourselves. We are dead in ways that there's no hope for life. I can't take dead bitterness in me and resurrect it to life as love and forgiveness. I can't take dead lust in me and resurrect it to life as selfless love. I can't take dead greed in me and resurrect it to life as heartfelt generosity. I can't take dead sin in me and resurrect it to life as righteousness. And when I die, and when you die, we can't take in our own power our rotting and decomposed body up out of the grave. We can't do that. I can't resurrect anything. You can't resurrect anything. But Christ can. The same power that is working, that is at work in Christ, in raising Christ from the dead, is at work in me, and it's at work in all who believe. Just believe. Simple, easy, okay? I'm a complete idiot and I get in on this thing. And anyone can. So here's what we got to understand. We have three-ish types of people in here, okay? We have people in our gathering today and in gatherings all over the world today who no bones about it, just don't believe in anything we've sung or anything we've said. Just flat out don't believe it. Maybe kind of believed it when they were little, got to college and got over it, okay? I know you're here. I'm glad you're here. I love you. Pray for you. Ask that God would do what only He can do today and open your eyes to Jesus. But right now, you just don't believe. And then we've got, because we live in the Bible Belt and we churn these people out like an assembly line, people who think they're saved, okay? Who come to church week in and week out, probably have the YouVersion app on their phone. They listen to 89.7 or 88.7 if 89 is too edgy. Read off a decision card when you were little because your youth group took you to a hell house to scare you into the waters of baptism, but nothing in your heart, there's no pull, there's no lean to love Jesus and follow Jesus and serve Jesus and share Jesus. That's just not there. And you're not mad at God or anything like that. But the church thing is just a nice addition to your already okay life, and you're not really saved. So group two, I love you, and I pray for you, and I pray that today the Lord would open your eyes to your sinfulness and to His mercy and His grace, and you would believe, and we throw you in this pool, baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But right now, you just don't believe, and you're checking your clock for lunch. Which, full disclosure, I do too. Then we have this third group of people, and I love like unbeliever, I love you, Bible Belt Christian, I love you. I want to do ministry in Tonkawa specifically for you. But I really love this third group, okay? You believe, but you can't seem to get it right. I'm up here, we're reading God's Word about this immeasurable greatness of His power towards those who believe. And you're hearing that, and your heart's starting to beat faster at hearing that, and you want that, but it's just not happening for you at the speed you'd like. And so you follow Jesus, But the whole thing, your whole discipleship, your whole following of Jesus feels like I go one step forward and two steps back. And everyone else, when they got saved, the Lord gave them their wings and they just fluttered into glory. But I'm stuck in the mud. My wings don't work. So if you're in group three, I want you to hear from me and I want you to hear from the Lord, I love you so much. Guys who just can't get it right. Because you are doggedly hanging on to Christ for dear life. And you want to be like the people fluttering off and look like they're flying, but you just can't do it. Groups 1 and 2, unbeliever and Bible Belt Christian, repent. The wrath of God is still on you. And if you don't repent, there's no escape. He will not let sin or sinners into his new creation. But today I'm calling you to repent. Follow Jesus. The third group just can't get it right. Look at me. Ephesians 1 is a promise to you from God. Let me tell you how the universe works. And it's an arrogant claim, but we're using the scripture. The universe works this way. There's a guy who says, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise, and then he does it. That guy gets to make the rules for the rest of life. If you defeated death, you are in charge, and this means if he said, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise, and then he does it, that means everything else he says is true. That means that Ephesians 1 is true regardless of how many times you've fallen up this escalator. Regardless of how many times you just feel stuck in the mud. That's how the universe works. Jesus is trustworthy. And so when this same guy promises Ephesians 1 to you that you would know the hope to which he has called you, which is eternal, joyful life in him, and when he promises you that you will know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, which is knowing and living in the truth that the same way the Father loves Jesus, he loves you, and when he promises to you the immeasurable greatness of his power towards you who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he raised Jesus from the dead with, which is this reality, that sin will not reign over you forever. And there's coming a day, you just feel like, I just can't get it right. Everyone else is going fast and I'm going so slow. Guys, there is coming a day when that won't be a thing anymore. You will be sanctified through and through, and though you die, you will live. And sin will just be a distant memory. I don't even think we'll think about it. Third group, I love you. Okay? You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to be unbelievably dumb some days, but you're going to make it. This is the hope of the resurrection. Okay? Our sins go into the grave with Jesus. Our justification before God is made sure with the resurrection of Jesus. In Ephesians 1, the hope to which he has called us, the inheritance that he has promised us, and the greatness of his power towards us is all secured for us. So I don't care how you feel so much. If you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as sure as Christ raised from the dead, as sure Ephesians 1 is going to happen to you. I don't know how quickly it will, but it will. Now, I like appetizers and I like desserts. I'm happy to talk about them. We have a big side dish appetizer dessert thing in our lobby here today. A $1.2 million building project we've been working on for the future of our church and the gospel in Tonkawa, and I believe that we're going to get it done, okay? But if we raise the money, which is no small amount, and if we fill that building full, we got to have 15 services on the weekend to do it, but we don't get this right, we don't get the resurrection of Jesus right, simple belief, simple weak faith in him, If we don't get this right and we get that, who cares? If you get being a mom right, okay, or being a husband right, or you get your finances right, or you get your job right, or your house right, fill in the blank. If we get those things right but don't get this, it didn't matter. So today, of all days, let's celebrate the meat. Let's revel in the main course, and let's be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit of this. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's what matters. And we spend the rest of our church year explaining more what that means, how it plays itself out in our life. But today, we're just here to party about this and celebrate this. So can I pray for you? Amanda, if you'll come help us.